Hi, everyone. Welcome back to For Designer Business. You are in for an extra special treat today because we have Donna Hoffman returning to the show. If you have not listened to Donna's first two episodes with us, please go back and tune into those. So much value to share. And if you did already listen to those, then you know that Donna Hoffman is the interior design advocate, a very in-demand business coach helping interior designers elevate their businesses to be more profitable and more successful. Thank you so much for joining us again, Donna.
Love being here with you.
So today we were going to really talk about why you maybe aren't published and potentially why you don't need to be. I feel like this is a really hot topic in this industry. Interior designer business owners are always kind of talking about that PR and press and media piece. And Donna has a really unique perspective to share on that. So I'm excited to get into that with you today.
Sure. And even that question, Evelyn, why aren't I published? What's wrong with me? I mean, that's really the curl that goes through designers' brains. And I have to kind of tamp down the sense of insecurity that happens for people with it. So I'm glad we're tackling this because nobody really talks about it. Nobody talks about the underside, the underbelly of what it feels like to run a business.
Yeah, you just see other designers posting this press feature, that media piece. And I think sometimes that leads to a sense of comparison that can get people down. And I personally don't necessarily feel that that is a worthwhile spend of energy. So I see a lot of designers kind of chasing those awards or that press. And certainly there is a pathway there to greater visibility. But in your perspective on things, where and when does it make sense for a designer to focus on that?
Well, interesting. You mentioned awards and press. And I think those are two very, very different categories. And there's also a different attainable and payoff for both of those. So do you want to talk about awards versus press? Because you also touched on compare and despair, which is like kryptonite. That's the worst thing for any design CEO to get into. Because when you're in compare and despair, you just start to shut down all of your best CEO efforts and energy. So right off the bat, stop doing that. And if you need to unfollow people, I tell people that I coach, I want you to unfollow or mute 5 design brands right now that you're following and keep following them and looking at them if what you find they're posting is inspirational to you. But if it gets you into a snudge of compare and despair, mute them.
Yeah.
And that is something that even very well-established, well-awarded, well-publicized, and highly profitable designers have said publicly in continuing ed classes that I've seen them do or lectures I've seen them give. They've talked about having to get off of the Instagram hamster wheel because of that feeling of compare and despair. So I'm glad you popped that out. And I know that's not what we're talking about today, but I'm glad you put that out there because this whole publishing idea can get people into that compare and despair.
Yeah.
So let's talk about awards versus publicity. Now, when you're coaching your designers, where are you on the publicity field versus awards?
Well, that's a great question. I do not represent myself as a true PR expert by any means. You know, when you're really talking about PR and people that already have editors and contacts and things like that, that's not where I consider myself to be an expert, but it is a question that designers are asking about a lot. I think it's fair to wonder about the visibility that publications can give you. But I would really recommend starting super local because that's going to drive more to your actual business goals than even some super glossy spread in a national magazine or something like that. So where publication is concerned, I think a great feature in a local magazine, a local newspaper, you're advertising in the clubs in your area and things. I think there's room for it in the bigger picture of a marketing strategy, but it's not where I would even necessarily diving in first when you have limited resources and energy available to your marketing strategy. What about you?
Well, so let's look 10,000 foot view. So who should be going after publicity? And I think that the thing you want to ask yourself is, what am I expecting this publicity to bring to me? Because publicity on its own is not going to bring revenue into your company. And so certainly if you are billing under $1 million a year, I don't even think you should be thinking about national publicity. It's not going to put dollars in your coffers. It might make you feel good, but to get it, we'll talk about the hoops you have to jump through to get it. And what I always like to say to my designers that I coach, do you want to be rich or do you want to be famous? And I like to say rich is always the way to go. We'll talk about awards later. I think that's something worth pursuing and we'll talk about why. But in terms of publicity, the first question you need to ask as a design CEO is, what do I hope to come of this? What do I think it's going to do for me? And if you think national publicity is going to bring clients, signed business to your door, disagree. It does something else for you in terms of building out a brand, and we can talk about that. But if you're in that above 2 to 3 million as a business, and you want to then grow your brand into some additional areas, then publicity could be a great move for you.
Right.
But I want to see you get to that $1 million. I want to see a lot of designers aren't even at that 350 revenue threshold yet, or 750. And I don't mean just hitting it once. I mean hitting it consistently year over year over year. And to your point about local publishing, I do think that there is validity there, especially if there is a local free magazine that's distributed in your area and they are taking ad dollars from people, but also doing articles. If you're a good writer, for example, we were approached to be an advertiser with a local magazine. And I said, I'm a terrific writer. Let me write an article for you, no charge. And you can use our professional photography. And that resulted in a couple of jobs when we were doing it. Not amazing jobs, but pretty good jobs.
Right.
But even there, after you're exposed for a while, even there, I think that can start to flatten out.
But I would say that is probably a great stepping stone as well when this business, let's say it wasn't you because you are already doing that $1 million plus, but for that designer who isn't there yet, but sees that in their picture of success, that's where they want to go. They want to be nationally publicized for whatever their reason is. Maybe it is brand versus revenue, but having been featured before in smaller publications will also help you at that point down the journey. So if you're kind of thinking about it as stepping stones on that pathway, not only can it lead to those couple jobs up front, and it helps you build that brand over time and that recognition.
Right. And in terms of building a brand for designers that they want licensing deals. And again, I got to tell you, licensing deals are not major money makers at all. But it's, again, a part of that kind of cachet. I'm a big national brand or an international brand. And these are just pockets, little revenue pockets to add. But licensing is a ton of work without a ton of revenue back to your business. You're looking at anywhere from 0.5% to 3% to 5%. It's not huge. I mean, designers who don't know a lot about licensing thinking that they're going to sign a 10% licensing deal, that just doesn't happen. It's usually somewhere in that as low as 0.5% to as much as 5%. So again, you really have to ask yourself, what's the purpose of this? Is this a vanity move? And if it's a vanity move, I'm going to say, don't do it until your revenue is where you want it to be. In fact, I had a colleague ask me if I thought about joining a particular organization for high-level designers, and I shot back to her, and I love her to bits. I said, okay, give me the real deal. Is this a vanity move, or is this going to end up in revenue? She said, oh, it's a vanity move. I thought, well, to what end? I'm busy enough as a design CEO. I don't have time for vanity moves, but there is a social proof move that I think you should go for above publishing. I think you should be trying to get your projects into awards submissions.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a publicist to get your projects into an awards submission, but you do need a publicist to get published. Now, someone can argue, well, I know of someone who, yes, there's a Mozart at every piano recital, right? All these kids that sound pretty mediocre, plunking out Fiorellis. But then there's that one kid that's like Mozart who could write a symphony at the age of 7. So I'm not saying there can't be that breakout designer who can get herself or himself published. But it's a hard, long effort when you want to get published. It means that work has not been publicized by you on Instagram or in your portfolio. And if you are a small business, I'm a boutique business, I'm a multi-million dollar business, but I'm boutique. Instagram chews up all of my visual assets very quickly because our projects are so big. We might do one installation every year, every other year. So we can run out of photography. For me to hold out a whole project for a vanity move, I could never reconcile. What's the bottom line? I want to see your P&L looking really good.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. When you're saying like, who does it make sense for? Certainly that revenue side of things is a consideration and your portfolio, because locking up those photos with an exclusive deal to get those published, that affects how often you're updating your website and your visuals, your social media and your visuals, your portfolio. So there is a huge trade-off there as well, especially for designers who are either newer in business or go longer between photographs, like you mentioned. So I definitely think that's a whole other side of that equation of, does this truly make sense for you?
Right. And the costs of a publicist, you're looking at generally around $5,000 a month. Have I heard numbers as low as 25 to 35 a month? I have, but five is about the average that seems to be out there. And that doesn't mean that you plunk down your $3,000 to $5,000 out of your wallet, actual revenue that could be a bonus to you, to your team, that's going out the door to a publicist, doesn't mean that they're going to have anything for you in month 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9, or 10.
Right.
You might wait a year before they've been pounding the pavement on you. So again, what's the payoff? There's nothing wrong with you for not being published. And frankly, I don't think there's anything wrong with you for not pursuing being published. But again, it gets people into that compare and despair really quickly.
And I think people worry that there's a trust builder that they're missing out on, you know, as seen in on their website and things like that. But I would say for that pushback, testimonials and reviews will always build 10 times more trust in you and in your services than any one logo on your website that says you've been featured in some magazine they've heard of before.
Agree. And if you look at awards, that is a different animal. Everyone listening, I want to see you putting your work in for awards consideration. That doesn't mean your iPhone shots. It has to be professionally lit, professionally shot, professionally edited. But I don't want you to just put in one project or one room. I want you to throw as many into an award submission as possible. It can get a little expensive, right? Every submission can be anywhere from $100 to $200. And if you're doing 7 or 8 submissions, I recognize that that's a fraction, a pittance of what you would pay to a publicist. And on the other end, whether you got a first place, a second place, a third place, or an honorable mention, that is an award. So that when you are talking to a prospective client and they say, here's our spiel, listen. And then you say, okay, let me tell you a little bit about our company. We've been in business X number of years. If you've only have one award and we've been acknowledged by our industry with award recognition, that's how you say it if there's one award. We've been acknowledged by industry members with really wonderful award recognition. Or if you have multiple awards, we're a multi-award winning company. And if you have a significant number of awards, I love saying to a client, and I just said it last week to a prospective client, let me tell you a little bit about our company. We are completing our 18th year in business and we're on our 26th design award. Well, that got him. Because that is social proof. That means, in addition to the social proof of, as you said, having clients write testimonials, which is not always easy to do.
No.
Really super busy clients. They're like, yeah, we love you. We're hugging you at your install, but they just can't take the time to tap out some notes because if you're dealing with a super luxury client, they're busy as the day is long. But to be able to boast about your own awards that you've garnered, or to be able to say, I've been in business X number of years. I feel utterly grateful to also be a multi-award winning company. We have garnered 7 awards to date or whatever your award count is. I think that's better than, and I was featured in X or I was published in Y.
Absolutely. And then you'll get that badge and that visual representation on your website and everything that goes along with that as well. With, like you mentioned, less investment overall than traditional publication and PR, and it's more tailored to that success and that award.
Right. And awards don't get dated when you publicize the accumulation of them to the public. I was in Better Homes in 2020 or 2018, but I have this number of awards to date. You're not saying what year they were accumulated in. It's this is what I have earned or garnered. So I think that if you want to be serious about devoting your time and energy someplace rather than publishing, I'd be devoting time and energy on contest submission. And there is significant time that you do have to put into contest submission. The best time to do your write-ups for content submission while you're waiting for your photographer to re-up the lighting or change out your composition, your laptop should be with you and you should be saying, this living room boasts a da-da-da-da-da-da, and we've added for structural interest, blah, blah, blah. And you're writing your write-up right there. Try to keep that write-up to not more than 100 words. Probably depending upon the submission, you'll have to change that write-up. And there are also basic questions that submissions often require. What was the challenge that the client had in this space or in this home? What were the obstacles that you faced? How did you solve those problems? And then a general write-up of that room or the residence that you're submitting. So if you can get those thoughts down on paper while the project is really fresh and you've just been touching all those textures in your brain during the installation right before you photograph, it's great to have that file to call upon when you are then doing a submission where you'll have to, yes, tweak that write-up, but get it done when it's fresh. And that's like the heavy lifting that you're getting done. And then keep your eyes peeled. You don't have to be a member of the ASID to submit for an ASID contest. So I think that's the better way to put it out there for your company. And of course, once you start getting those awards, you're going to be putting that on your website. I'd love to see as your website, as you scroll down, I'd love to see if there's an award or multiple awards. I'd love to see that populating at the bottom of every page as people scroll down. And again, on your testimonials page. And also those awards are things that go into your copy when you're putting out an Instagram post, or it's a picture of you next to an award with a big thank you sign, not to mention you at an award ceremony. So I think that's the much sexier way to go, and it has much more payoff for dollars. Your local market will be seeing what you're doing, and the prospects you're talking to will be getting that from you as well.
I love what you said about actually working on your write-ups right there in the space during that photo shoot. I think that's so interesting, and also leaves room for you as you're thinking through those client challenges or thinking through your unique solve to also maybe add to your shot list accordingly. Of course, your photographer hopefully has a lot of experience and you know the larger shots that you had, but a little vignette that tells that story or can highlight one of those unique collections or whatever that is, in working on your write-up and really thinking through the important parts of that story that you would want to tell there in the space, you also have that creative license and freedom to potentially make sure you have visuals to tell that part of the story as well.
Brilliant. Great idea. And also what you write up, two lines of that can come out and become an Instagram post, or the whole write-up can become a blog post if you're doing newsletters and that sort of thing. Or just blogging. So that content, you always want to see how you can recycle content. So I love your idea of using the content driver as the, hey, photographer, can you get a detail shot of the da-da-da-da-da-da? So I think getting that write-up done as you're shooting does serve a couple of different purposes.
Absolutely. Multi-purpose. If you can do something once and use it in a multiple avenues, that is such a great win for you. And I think the same can be said for awards. I was actually a little bit surprised as I first started helping people with their submissions and things by seeing how many people would submit to multiple categories for the same space. And as I've gotten more and more familiar with this process, now I recognize absolutely why not. It makes perfect sense. So allow yourself to submit in multiple categories. Think outside the box of what parts of your project you could highlight for different categories and awards out there. There are a lot of opportunities. And if you can create that calendar for yourself at the start of the year, use this as something to be accountable to, be consistent with, as opposed to that kind of endless chase of publication. I completely agree with you, Donna, that it's just time and energy better spent, and also with that longevity that an award gives you.
Yeah, to what end? And I have to say, we have been published in Forbes and some of the shelter magazines. I never even talk about that. I don't even mention that when I'm talking to a prospective client, because it's the awards that get them.
Right.
You know, you're a winner. I don't know. They're excited by it. I've never had somebody not get excited. And also, that's fodder that you're going to use when you're networking with a builder that you've never worked with before that you want to start working with, or with an architect. An award to them says that a jury of your peers has said, this person has something. I think with builders and architects, awards possibly carry a little more gravitas than certain publishing opportunities, like in a local newspaper. It might feel good to you to get into a local newspaper, but I don't think that's going to impress a builder or an architect the way an award would.
Right.
And also, as you garner these awards, you want to make sure that you become your own publicist, that you are putting it out there on your Instagram that you're crowing from the rafters about it, not in an obnoxious way, expressing your gratitude for it.
Absolutely. And I think LinkedIn is a great platform for that as well. Not only are many of your target market audience clients on LinkedIn, but also especially those B2B partners, referral partners that you want to be networking with consistently are also on there. And so that is a really great place as well that people are very responsive to those professional advancements and things like awards. So don't neglect that platform. I think it gets kind of out of sight, out of mind for a lot of designers. And I just find that it's super valuable in creating those conversations on both sides, but especially that B2B side of things.
That's a great point. And I'll tell you, there is a time and place for publishing. If you're a designer and you're really in the multiple million dollar revenue annually and on a consistent basis, right off the bat, you might want to consider publishing, especially if you're interested in building out a platform for your brand. Perhaps you want to build out a podcast for your brand, and perhaps eventually you want to do some sort of B2C, business to consumer something. Is it educational? And I will tell you, the online education space is crowded and would not recommend it, but maybe that's part of your dream. Or maybe you're also an artist and you do some of the artwork in your own projects and you want to be able to sell some of that directly to people and you want to build out a brand presence so that people nationally are going to be finding you for purchases other than, hey, we want to bring you out to Colorado to do our second residence. So there is a time and place for it. So if you're building a platform and you need a nationally recognized brand for that platform and with whatever it is you want to do with that, then I think publishing really could make sense. But listen, as a design coach, and I'm sure you see it also, Evelyn, when I see where people's revenue is and when I see what the pain points are in the businesses and why the revenues are as short as they are, I think that publishing should not even be a thought in your head. The thing you should be looking at if you are less than $350 a year, less than $750 a year, less than $1 million a year, and on a consistent basis, how do I grow to that next level of revenue? And the answer is not publishing. The answer is going to be your processes, and it's going to be in your sales and marketing ability. That's all on you, girlfriend or boyfriend. That is your branding statement. That's your point of difference. All that sexy, juicy, enticing language that you use about your business that makes people want to connect with you, or that makes a builder say, yeah, I do want to work with this person. I do like what their deliverable is. So that's where you want to put money in your P&L statement, revenue into the business, profit into the business, operations, sales, and marketing. That's where you should be concentrating your efforts.
Absolutely. And it comes back to that question that you asked. Do you want to be rich or do you want to be famous? Chasing that fame, if it doesn't have a clear path to clients, if your marketing choices are not truly in alignment with your business priorities, just take it back a couple steps, look at that fork in the road and consider putting your time and energy to where it's actually going to contribute to those revenue goals, like you said. And it can be tricky because it does come back to that compare and despair. You're seeing other designers that you feel are in the place that you want to be, or they look as successful as you envision yourself. But the fact that they just posted on their Instagram that they were in XYZ magazine tells you nothing about their actual revenue and success either. So you're looking at a glossy picture and you don't see what's behind that either. So that comparison really can be a huge downer emotionally and also very misleading.
Very misleading. And it's a CEO effectiveness buzzkill, without a doubt, which is why I said unfollow people if that's what's happening for you. And don't forget to publishing, by and large, not 1,000%, there's always exceptions, but vast majority of published opportunities, it's a pay-to-play thing. You know, I got back from this last High Point and I had dinner out there with some of the designers that I coach. And one of the designers, we were driving home, a group of us were driving home back to our lovely hotels. Everybody hates their hotel down in High Point, right? So you compare, how bad is your hotel compared to somebody else's hotel?
Yep.
But one of the designers from the front seat said something to me. I was in the back seat and she said, Donna, don't judge me, she said, but I felt so overwhelmed and so inadequate walking around Market yesterday. She said, I went back to my hotel room and I cried.
No.
And I so appreciated her honesty in telling me that. And I said, let me talk to you about that. I said, parts of market are very performative. There's a vanity aspect to market. And a lot of us are hiking around in our sneaker-like derivative, just getting the work done. And then there are always those designers. The nails are on, the hair is perfect, the eyelashes are on, everything's perfect, perfect, perfect. And there's a vanity move happening because maybe they're speaking down at market, or maybe they're doing a lot of Instagram shots. Maybe they're trying to make their business look bigger than it actually is. You're down there actually working, and they might not be down there actually working.
Right.
And please, if you wear false eyelashes and you are down there working, don't send me a hate letter. And more power to you and the lashes. You do you. But my point is that anything that has this performative thing, this kind of flexing a muscle, which might be all smoke and mirrors, designers are very susceptible to that. So they can get into compare and despair. That creative brain that we have has that reactionary element to it. We've talked about that before on the podcast. But you need to know, as a design CEO, you are more susceptible to compare and despair than the owner of an accounting firm is.
Right.
They're not going to get triggered the way people like us get triggered. So publishing is just another one of those things that can be fairly performative. But like you just said, Evelyn, it might be smoke and mirrors. There may not be a healthy profit and loss statement behind that in a company, but somebody did have a bathroom shot published in a magazine. You can't put that in the bank.
Yeah. You know, I see it in a lot of different avenues, really, not even just publishing, those vanity metrics. I want to have XYZ followers. Okay, great. I will write that down as a goal. That's something that would feel really good to you. But if they're not also engaging, if it's not any more likely to convert, let's just get to the why of that particular goal. And if it's just because that's what you have in your mind of what success looks like, it's that same question. Like, okay, but would you rather have three people who actually care about what you're saying and are following you with that purpose? It's a different priority. And I think you do want to always circle that back to, what does it actually mean for your business in a real and actionable way?
It's dollars in the bank, baby. Do you want to be rich or do you want to be famous? I always chose being financially sound, profit proud, and I went for rich, not for famous.
Right. And you know, some people might be sitting here and going, but I want both. Okay, good for you. Just make sure you're, like we said, putting that action in place in a way that's going to, I would say, at least be rich first. Why not?
Well, I think you want to at least be consistently at 1.5 million. And from there, you put some of that marketing dollar effort into a publicist. Make sure you've got a great looking portfolio with professional photography behind it. And then all the stipulations we talked about. And if you just want to do it as a vanity move, no problem. As long as you know, I might be flushing these dollars down the toilet or through a paper shredder, but at least go into it with your eyes wide open as opposed to your eyes wide shut.
Realistic expectations are the key to happiness, in my opinion. I love that. So we're just trying to make sure that coming out of this episode, you really are mapping your marketing activities to revenue goals more than to your thoughts of what you'd want to look like out there on the internet. Stop comparing yourself to others, you know, measure your own growth. Is there anything else that you feel like designers who are struggling with that might need to hear from you, or any other genius you can share to help them really make sure they're doing that and staying accountable to that?
Yeah, I think we did it. I think it's important, above all, as a design CEO, to really understand your constitution, what makes you tick as a creative brain, and what the three non-negotiable things in your business are for you to achieve maximum success. You need to understand how your creative brain hardwiring works for or against you in a business, how to apply that in the best way possible to your operations so your deliverable is gorgeous to your clients, something else for you to brag about. That's a braggable thing right there. And then apply that to your sales and marketing efforts. Those three pillars that we've talked about, that's always where it tracks back to. And publishing falls under the sales and marketing pillar, but it's so far down in terms of what it comes back to me on it. So you always want to ask yourself, what am I going to get for this? What comes back to me on this? What's the ROI on this effort and on these dollars? And if the answer is, I see an ROI and here's what it is. And if the answer for you is it's a vanity move, like I said, go for it, but at least go in there with your eyes wide open on it. But you and I are totally aligned on this, Evelyn.
Yep. Amen to that. I love it. Thank you so much, Donna, as always, for sharing all that value that you have to bring to a design CEO with our audience. We appreciate you, and we hope to have you back soon.
Love it. Thanks, Evelyn.
Well, that's a wrap on today's episode with Donna Hoffman. If there's one question that we want you to take away from this episode, it's this. Do you want to be rich or do you want to be famous? Publishing and press might look glamorous on Instagram, but if you're billing under $1 million a year, that energy needs to go someplace else. Into your operations, your sales and marketing, and building the foundation that actually puts dollars in the bank.
And remember, there is nothing wrong with you for not being published. Absolutely nothing. We all fall into that compare and despair cycle, but it's really important to step up for yourself and protect your thinking by taking action. So stop right now. Take a moment to unfollow 5 accounts or brands that put you into that spin cycle. Protect your energy, protect your focus, and results will follow. Stop chasing vanity metrics and start chasing revenue, because a glossy magazine spread or feature does not pay your team, does not grow your profit, and does not build the business that supports your dreams.
So, here's your challenge for this episode. Instead of chasing publication, start chasing awards. Submit your professionally photographed projects to as many award categories as possible. Write up those project descriptions while you're on site at the photo shoot. Knock that heavy lifting out while it's fresh. And when you're talking to prospective clients, lead with, "I'm a multi-award winning designer," instead of, "I was featured in X magazine 3 years ago." Awards don't get dated. Awards are social proof, and awards actually convert to real revenue.
And if you do want to pursue publishing down the road, just make sure you're doing it with your eyes wide open. Ask yourself, what's the actual ROI I can expect here? What am I really expecting this to bring my business? If the answer is brand building and you're consistently at $1.5 million or more in revenue per year, maybe it does make sense. But if the answer is, "I think this will bring me clients," we're here to tell you it probably won't. So get rich first, then get famous if that's what you really want. But always, always prioritize profit over publicity.
So when you're ready to stop comparing yourself to others, stop flushing marketing dollars down the drain, and start building the profitable, sustainable design business that you actually want, schedule a free call with us at fordesignerbusiness.com or check the link in the show notes.
If you enjoyed today's episode with Donna, please take a moment to help us grow this community of amazing designers just like you by rating, reviewing, and subscribing wherever you listen. This podcast is all about creating successful interior design business owners. Our new episodes drop every Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe and get notified. You can also send us a totally anonymous voicemail to receive free coaching right here on this podcast. Send us your questions, your challenges, whatever it is. We can't wait to hear from you.
Remember, as a creative, you are more susceptible to compare and despair than a traditional business owner. That's just how our creative brains are wired. But you also have the power to redirect that energy into what actually matters: your P&L, your process, and your sales and marketing. So let's do this together. One award submission, one realistic expectation, and one revenue goal at a time.
Make no excuses, stay committed, and watch what happens when you choose to get rich over getting famous. Until next time, keep designing and keep dreaming.